Boys. This afternoon, the National Broadcasting Company presents, in its fourth annual series of great plays, Sir Arthur Wing Pinero's Trelawney of the Wells. First produced in 1898, Trelawney of the Wells was another of the great British playwright's smash successes, and it has endured since that time as a significant work in the library of the theater. But before we present Trelawney of the Wells to you this afternoon, may we suggest that your enjoyment of the great play series can be greatly enhanced if you will obtain a copy of The Listener's Aid, published through the cooperation of the University Press of Columbia University in New York City. Be sure to listen at the end of this program to learn how you may obtain a copy of the Great Plays Drama Guide containing complete information about this series. And now for the play. In Trelawney of the Wells, Pinero used as his theme first the contrast between old theater and new, and second, the great gulf which once existed between patrician society and the raffish folk of the stage. The play tells the story of lovely Rose Trelawney of the Wells Theater in London and the young man who fell in love with her, Arthur Gower, grandson of Sir William Gower, Vice Chancellor. Our opening scene is a sitting room in a theatrical boarding house at the farewell luncheon which her colleagues are giving Rose Trelawney before she leaves to stay with her fiancé's relatives in a more genteel section of London. The entire company of the Wells Theatre is gathered at the table, and evidently speeches are about to be made as Mr. Telfer, the dean of the group, signals for attention.
Ladies and gentlemen, I beg you to be seated. Miss Trelawney will sit here on my right.
Thank you.
On my left, my friend Mr. Gower will
sit. Thank you, sir.
Next to Miss Trelawney, who will sit beside Miss Trelawney?
It must be a gentleman, Vonya. Now, if you two boys quarrel...
Please, don't push me, cowboys. The carriage has just drove up, Miss Trelawney.
Oh, Mr. Gadd, so soon? Oh, Arthur, is it him?
Dear me, before a single speech has been made.
Yes, the carriage is certainly 2 or 3 minutes before its time, my sweet.
The speeches, my dear sir, the speeches. We cannot allow Miss Trelawney to leave us without speeches.
Well, then, the footman can wait for a little bit, sir.
Resume your seats, I beg, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, we're not ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, I devoted some time this morning to the preparation of a list of toasts. I now hold that list in my hand. The first toast, the first toast that figures here is, naturally, that of the Queen. The Queen! Ladies and gentlemen, bumpers, I charge you. The toast I had next intended to propose was our immortal bard, Shakespeare. And I had meant myself to have offered a few remarks in response. But with our friends' horses champing their bits, I am compelled, nay, forced, to postpone this toast to a later period of the day, and to give you now what we may justly designate the toast of the afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, we are about to lose, to part with one of our companions, a young comrade who came amongst us many months ago, who, in fact, joined the company of the Wells last February 12 months after a considerable experience in the provinces of this great country.
I detested her at first.
Be quiet, Vaughn.
Her late mother was an actress, herself made familiar with the stage from childhood, if not from infancy. Miss Rose Trelawney, for I will no longer conceal from you that it is to Miss Trelawney I refer. Miss Trelawney is the stuff of which great actresses are made. So much for the actress. Now for the young lady. A man has crossed her path. A man, but also a gentleman. A gentleman of probity, a gentleman of honor, a gentleman of wealth and station. That gentleman, with the modesty of youth, for I may tell you at once that he is not an old man, comes to us and asks us to give him this girl to wife. And, friends, we have done so. A few preliminaries have, I believe, still to be concluded between Mr. Gower and his family, and then the bond will be signed, the compact entered upon, and the mutual trust accepted. Riches this youthful pair will possess, but what is gold? May they be rich in each other's society, in each other's love. May they, I can wish them no greater joy, be as happy in their married life as my wife and I have been in ours. Miss Rose Trelawney, Mr. Arthur Gower. Miss Trelawney.
No. No, Mr. Telford.
Mr. Gower, will you indulge us in a few words?
Well, thank you. All I can say is that I regard Miss Trelawney in the light of a solemn charge, and I trust that if ever I have the pleasure of meeting any of you again, I shall be able to render a good, a satisfactory account of myself.
Splendid. Now, Rose, my child.
Mr. Telfer, Mrs. Telfer, my friends, boys, ladies and gentlemen. No, don't stop playing, Jenny. Thy gentle voice. You remember the song I sang in The Peddler of Marseille, which made Arthur fall in love with me? Well, I know I shall dream of you, of all of you, very often, as the song says. Don't believe that because I shall have married a swell, you and the old Wells, the dear old Wells, you and the old Wells will have become nothing to me. Oh, no. Many and many a night you'll see me in the house looking down at you from the circle, me and my husband.
Oh, yes, certainly, my love.
And if you send for me, I'll come behind the curtain to you and sit with you and talk of bygone times, these times that end today. And shall I tell you the moments which will be the happiest to me in my life, however happy I may be with Arthur?
Oh, yes.
Why, whenever I find that I'm recognized by people and pointed out, people in the pit of a theater, in the street, no matter where, and when I can fancy they're saying to each other, look, that was Miss Trelawney. You remember? Trelawney!
Trelawney of the world!
Quiet, isn't it, Rose?
Quiet? Oh, Arthur. Oh, this dreadful half hour after dinner every evening. And it's been going on like this for a month.
Grandfather and Aunt Trafalgar must wake up soon. They're dozing longer than usual tonight.
Your sister Clara over there and Captain De Phoenix, when they were courting, did they have to go through this?
Yes.
And now that they're married, they still endure it?
Yes.
And we, when we are married, Arthur, shall we?
Yes, I suppose so.
Oh, look at Captain De Phoenix, Arthur.
Oh.
He's asleep, standing up.
Why, George, so he is.
Oh, you can't blame him, though, with your aunt and your uncle going to sleep in their chairs like this every night. Oh, this isn't a living room. It's a dozing room.
Shh, Rose, quiet.
Oh, Frederick. No. What?
Oh, dear me.
Frederick, dear,
how did this occur?
You were tottering. And I caught you.
Oh, I remember. I placed myself in an upright position, dear West, to prevent myself from dozing.
Oh, how you alarmed me, Frederick.
It might have been a very serious accident, Miss Trelawney.
Oh, Rose, Grandpa does not approve of young ladies sitting on footstools.
Oh, rubbish, Clara. Why not sit on a footstool? Hark! Hark! It's a street organ!
Hush.
The song I sang in the peddler of Marseille. The song that used to make you cry, Arthur. And then Raphael enters, comes under the bridge. The music continues softly. Raphael, why have you kept me waiting? Man, do you wish to break my heart? A woman's heart, Raphael.
God, what a hideous riot, Trafalgar.
Rose, dear, I hope I've been mistaken, but through my sleep I fancied that I could hear you shrieking at the top of your voice.
What are you upon the floor for, my dear Miss Trelawney? Have we no cheers? Do we lack cheers here, Trafalgar?
Oh, my dear Rose, come, come, come. This is quite out of place. Young ladies do not crouch and huddle upon the ground. Rose, dear, be seated more seemingly. The Vice-Chancellor has something to say to us. Let us all be seated.
Are you seated?
Yes.
Well, what I desire to say is this. When Miss Trelawney took up her residence here, it was thought proper in the peculiar circumstances of the case that you, Arthur, you...
Yes, sir?
That you should remove yourself to the establishment of your sister Clara and her husband in Holly Street round the corner.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Grandpa.
Certainly, Sir William.
Taking your food in this house and spending other certain hours here under the surveillance of your great aunt Trafalgar.
Yes, William.
This was considered to be a decorous and, toward Miss Trelawney, a highly respectful course to pursue.
Yes, sir.
Any other course would have been quite out of place.
And yet... What is this that is reported to me?
I don't know, sir.
I hear that you have on several occasions at night, after having quitted this house with Captain and Mrs. De Phoenix, been seen on the other side of the way, your back against the railings, gazing up at Miss Trelawney's window, and that you have remained in that position for a considerable space of time. Is this true, sir?
Yes, Sir William.
I venture to put a question to my grandson, Miss Trelawney.
Yes, sir, it is quite true.
Then, sir, let me acquaint you that these are not the manners nor the practices of a gentleman.
No, sir?
No, sir. They are the manners and the practices of a troubadour.
A troubadour in Cavendish Square? Oh, quite out of place.
I'm very sorry, sir. I never looked at it in that light. But at the same time, sir, I dare say... Of course, I don't speak from precise knowledge, but I dare say there were a good many... A good many...
A good many what, sir?
A good many very respectable troubadours, sir.
And what I wish to say, Sir William, is this. I wish to avow, to declare before the world, that Arthur and I have had many lengthy interviews while he's been stationed against those railings over there. I murmuring to him softly from my bedroom window, he responding in tremulous whispering.
You tell me such things?
The square in which we've resided for years. Oh, our neighbors.
The character of my house.
Again, I'm extremely sorry, sir. But these are the only confidential conversations that Rose and I now enjoy.
And you, Captain De Phoenix.
Yes, sir?
An officer and a gentleman. And you, Clara.
Yes, sir?
This could scarcely have been without your cognizance, without perhaps... Your approval?
Well, Sir William, we...
You see, sir, the fact...
There are no facts. You have my permission to withdraw from our company this evening.
Yes, sir.
Good night, Sir William.
Good night, Sir William.
And Trafalgar.
Good night,
Arthur.
Good night, Rose.
The card table, Sir William?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. By all means, Charles. The card table, as usual. A rubber of whist, William, will comfort you, soothe you.
I am agitated, Trafalgar. Come with me into the library until the whist table is arranged.
Of course, William, of course.
Infamous. Oh, infamous.
Now be calm, Rose, dear, be calm.
Tyrannical. Diabolical. I cannot endure it.
Shh. Now they mean well, dearest. Rose, put down Grandfather's snuffbox.
His snuffbox. Wish I could poison his snuff, as Lucrezia Borgia would have done. She would have removed him within 2 hours of my arrival. I mean her arrival. And here he sits and lectures to me, and dictates to me. To me, Miss Trelawney.
I venture to put a question to my grandson, Miss Trelawney. Have we no cheers? Do we lack cheers here, Trafalgar? Oh.
Well, now what have you done?
The snuff. I took some...
Oh, Rose, dear.
Is the card table prepared? Ah, it is. Arthur, I assume that you would prefer to sit and contemplate Rose.
Thank you, Aunt.
My dear child.
Are you in pain, Rose, dear?
Agony.
Well, look, pinch your upper lip.
Hush, 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 hush. Oh. Are we to play whist or listen to Miss Trelawney sneeze?
Rose, young ladies do not sneeze quite so continuously.
But she's not doing it deliberately, Aunt Trafalgar.
Don't trouble defending me, Arthur. Excuse me, I withdraw... I withdraw to the next room.
Arthur.
Excuse me, Grandfather.
You're a troublesome young man, Arthur.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be one.
As your poor father was before you. And if you're fool enough to marry and to beget children, doubtless your son will follow the same course. Yes, but I shall be dead and gone by that time, it's likely. Yes, I shall be sitting in the court above by that time.
Oh, that's Rose. I'll tell her to stop. Oh,
no, no, no. Let her go on, I beg.
Oh.
Let her continue. We will suspend our conversation while this young lady performs her operas.
William!
My dear, I fear this is no longer a comfortable home for you. I apprehend that in these days my house approaches somewhat closely to a pandemonium.
Rose, Rose, stop, Rose!
Did anyone call?
Yes, Rose, you've upset my grandfather.
Miss Trelawney, how dare you do anything so out of place?
There's a piano in that room, Miss Gower.
You are acquainted with the rules of this household. No music when the Vice Chancellor is within doors.
But there are so many rules. One of them is that you may not sneeze.
Oh, you must never answer.
No, that's another rule.
Oh, for shame.
You see, Aunt, Rose is young. And, well, you make no allowance for her. You give her no chance.
Great heavens! What is this you are charging me with?
Well, I don't think the rules of this house are fair to Rose. Yes, I must say it, they're horribly unfair.
Brother!
Oh, indeed, sir. And so you deliberately accuse your great-aunt of acting towards you and Miss Trelawney mala fide.
I shall retire. I have been offended. I shall retire. Good night.
Grandfather, what I intended...
I will afford you the opportunity of explaining what you intended to convey downstairs at once in the library. Come.
Good night, dearest.
Good night.
Good night. Oh, Rose.
Mr. Arthur Gower, I am waiting.
I'm coming, sir.
Oh. 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 Yes? What is it? Come in.
Miss Rose.
Charles. What is it, Charles?
I've seen Sir William and the rest descend the stairs. I've been waiting the chance of handing you this note, Miss Rose.
Ooh, it's damp.
Yes, it's just a little gentle shower have been taking place outside. Eat spots, cook says.
Oh, from some of my friends.
Professional, Miss Rose?
Yes. They want to speak to me, to impart something to me of an important nature. Oh, Charles, I know not what to do.
Whatever friends may loll against them railings opposite, Miss Rose, you have one true friend in this house, Charles Gibbons.
And Sir William and Miss Gower have retired. Oh, Charles, do you think you could... Do you think I could...
Well, Miss, I shouldn't venture out.
No, out, no, but get them in. Bring my friends in.
In, Miss Rose? Indoors?
Yes, under cover. They are my friends. Oh, Avonia, darling, I am glad.
Oh, Rose. Oh, Ducky, Ducky, Ducky. Oh, but what a storm.
Hush. Ooh, how wet you are. Ferdinand.
Miss Rose.
How are you? Tom Wrench. Dear Tom Wrench.
It's a shame to come down on you in this way, but they would do it, and I thought I'd better stick to them.
Well, I shall remember this accursed evening. Look how wet I am.
Oh, Ferdinand.
Hush. You must be quiet. Everybody's gone to bed, and I'm not sure I'm allowed to receive visitors.
Oh?
We're intruders.
Well, I mean, such late visitors.
Stop it, Ferdy. Well, you can't shake your coat here. Aren't
wet.
I wet enough? Yes, dear, it is latish, but I so wanted to see you. So I said to Ferdy over tea, Ferdy, let's see where Rose Trelawney lives. And we thought it only nice and polite to invite Tom Wrench and...
Rose, how's it gone with you?
Tom's still gone on you, Rose, aren't you, Tom?
Spare Rose's blushes, Avonia.
It's time. Rose, he says he hasn't written a good line since you left us.
I think you should have some wine. Will you take some wine, Ferdinand? The decanter's there beside you.
I thank you, Rose.
Tom, won't you?
No, thank you. The fact is, we've had already some refreshments. Once or twice during the evening, in fact, and Ferdy here isn't too steady, Rose.
Let me canakin clink, clink, clink.
Be quiet, Ferdinand.
Well, Rose, my darling, we've been talking about nothing but ourselves, but how are you getting along here?
Getting along? Oh,
I don't fancy I'm getting along very well, thank you.
Not?
Oh, I'm sorry, Rose. What's wrong?
No, boys. No, Vonya. The truth is, it isn't as nice as you'd think it. Oh, I suppose the profession had its drawbacks. Mother used to say so, but... Oh, one could fly. Yes, in Brighton Crescent, one was a dirty little London sparrow, perhaps, but... But here, in this grand square... Oh, it's the story of the caged bird over again.
A lovebird, though, what?
Poor Arthur. Oh, yes, he's a dear. But the Gowers, the old Gowers, the Gowers, the ancient Gowers, the venerable Gowers.
You mean the grandfather?
And the aunt, the great aunt, the great bore of a great aunt. The very mention of her makes something go tap, 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 tap at the top of my head.
Oh, I am sorry to hear this. Well, upon my word.
Would you believe it? Vonio, boys, you'll never believe it. I mayn't walk out with Arthur alone, nor see him here alone.
What?
I mayn't sing. No, nor sneeze even.
Not sing, nor sneeze?
No.
Nor sneeze?
Nor sit on the floor. The floor.
Why, when we shared rooms together, you were always on the floor.
In heaven's name, what kind of a house can this be?
We're making a great deal of noise.
Oh, I wouldn't stand it, would you, Ferdinand?
Yeah, no.
Rose, don't you put up with it. I say don't you stand it. You're an independent girl, dear. They came to you, these people, not you to them, remember?
Vonya, dear, gently, gently.
Oh, what can I do? I can't do anything.
Oh, can't you? Ferdinand, advise her. You tell her how to...
Miss Ben, Mrs. Gann.
Oh, that's Ferdinand.
Excuse me. Thank you for turning to me for advice.
Oh, don't be silly. But... Ferdy, you're tipsy from the sherry.
Madam...
Easy, old man. You'll knock that table over. You're not too steady.
Miserable viper, I am not inebriated.
Oh! The house bells. They've heard us. They're coming. Turn out the lights. Hide. Oh, Tom, Vonya, hide.
What is this?
Oh, it's too late. It's too late.
Miss Trelawney.
Rose. Men. People.
Who are these people?
Some friends of mine who used to be at the Wells have called upon me to inquire how I'm getting on.
Oh, Rose.
Aha. Arthur. How come you here?
I was outside the house.
Troubadouring?
Troubadouring, yes, sir. Rose, what is this?
No, sir. This is my affair. Stand aside. Stand aside, all of you. Arthur, I can answer your question. Some friends of that young woman's connected with the playhouse have favored us with a visit for the purpose of ascertaining how she is getting on. Why, what's this?
It's a pipe. It belongs to one of my friends.
Yes, and the sherry decanter. In brief, a drunken debauch. So you see, gentlemen, and you, madam, and you, sir, you see, all of you, exactly how Miss Trelawney is getting on. Begone, all of you. A set of garish, dissolute gypsies. Begone.
Where's my umbrella?
A hand with my coat here. Wrench.
Both of you be quiet. You're making it difficult for Rose.
We don't want to remain where we're not heartily welcome, I can assure everybody.
Open all the windows. Let in the air.
Goodbye, dear Rose.
No, Vonya. Oh, don't leave me behind you. I won't stay with these people. I won't.
Rose.
Don't do anything rash, Rose.
Oh, I'm very sorry, Arthur. Indeed, I am very sorry, Sir William. But you are right. We are gypsies. Yes, Arthur. If you were a gypsy, as I am, as these friends of mine are, we might be happy together. But I've seen enough of your life, my dear boy, to know that I'm no wife for you. I should only be wretched, and it would make you wretched. And the end, when it arrived, as it very soon would be much as it is tonight.
Rose, you'll let me see you, talk to you. Tomorrow, Rose?
No, never.
You mean that?
Oh, don't be afraid. I give you my word.
Thank you. Thank you.
Arthur, come and see me tomorrow.
Oh. I'm ready.
Oh, not tonight, Rose, child. Not tonight. Where will you go?
To her old quarters in Brighton Crescent. Send her things after her, if you please. She'll live with Ferdy and me and welcome.
Oh, Rose, then what?
Then back to the Wells again, Miss Gower. I'm going back to be Trelawney of the Wells.
say, Tom, I wonder if I've done wrong.
It all depends upon whether you've had the chance.
Well, I've told the landlady the reason they've reduced Rose's salary at the Wells.
You needn't have done that.
Well, she only had to ask any other member of the company.
Yes, and they would have kept silent.
Oh, I could burn myself.
Besides, it isn't true.
What?
That Rose Trelawney is no longer up to her work.
Oh, Tom.
It isn't the fact, I say.
Well, isn't it a fact that ever since Rose returned from Cavendish Square...
She has been reserved, subdued, ladylike.
She was always ladylike.
I'm aware of that. Yes, deep down in the well of that girl's nature, there has been lying a little bright, clear pool of genuine refinement and girlish simplicity. And now the bucket has been lured by love. Experience has turned the handle, and up comes the crystal water to the top, pure and sparkling. Why, her broken engagement to poor young Gower has really been the making of her. It has transformed her. Can't act, can't she? Oh, how she would play Dora in my comedy.
Oh, that comedy.
How she would murmur those love scenes.
Murder.
A murmur. You know, Vonia, I had Rose in my mind when I imagined Dora.
Oh, you astonish me.
And Arthur Gower when I wrote the character of Gerald, Dora's lover. Gerald and Dora. Rose and Arthur. Gerald and Dora. Vonia.
Oh, Lord, what is it now?
I wish you could keep a secret.
Why, can't I?
Well, haven't you just been gossiping about Rose?
I swear, by all my hopes, Tom Wrench, of hitting him as Prince Charming in the coming pantomime, I swear I will not divulge, leave alone tell a living soul, any secret you may entrust to me or let me know of concerning Rose Trelawney of the Wells. Amen.
Vonia, I know where Arthur Gower is.
Is? Well, isn't he in London?
No. When Rose stuck to her refusal to see him... Listen, mind now, not a word.
By all my hopes of...
I sent him with a letter to the Theatre Royal, Bristol.
Theatre Royal... Arthur Gower?
He writes to me. He's coming along well, Vonia. And he's still devoted to Rose.
But isn't she to be told? Why shouldn't she be told?
She has hurt the boy, stung him to the quick, and he's proud.
But she loves him now that she believes he's forgotten her. She only half loved him before. She loves him.
Serves her right.
Oh, she ought to be told.
Woman,
by
you won't.
All my hopes of hitting him, I won't tell her anything.
All right. I believe you. Hush.
Oh, Tom. Vonia.
Good morning.
Visitors.
My fire's so black I came in to heat my curling irons. I thought you wouldn't mind.
Course not. I'm pleased you're here.
Rose, what's the matter?
Vonia. Tom, when I came back to the Wells, I thought everything would go on as before, but it's of no use. They tell me I cannot act effectively any longer.
Effectively?
First, as you know, they reduced my salary.
Yes.
And now, this morning, well, you can guess.
Got your notice?
Yes. Like poor old Mr. and Mrs. Telfer, I'm without a place.
Oh.
Poor mother. I hope she doesn't see her. I was running through Blanche, my old part in The Peddler of Marseille, when Mr. Burrows spoke to me. Oh, it's true, I was doing it tamely, but it's such nonsense.
Yeah.
Oh, my ducky. But there are other theatres, dear, besides the Wells.
For me? Only where the same trash is acted.
But a few months ago, you... Well, I liked your work.
And then I went to Cavendish Square, engaged to Arthur. Oh, how badly I behaved in Cavendish Square. How unlike a young lady. What if the old folks were overbearing and tyrannical? Arthur could be gentle with them. They've not many more years in this world, he said. Dear boy. And anything we can do to make them happy. And what did I do? There was a chance for me to be patient and womanly, and I proved to them that I was nothing but an actress.
Well, it doesn't follow because one's an actress.
Oh, yes, Vonia, it does. We are only dolls, partly human, with mechanical limbs that fall into stagey postures and heads stuffed with sayings out of rubbishy plays. It isn't the real world we live in, merely a world. Such a queer little one. I was less than a month in Cavendish Square, and very few people came there, but they were real people. Real. For a month, I lost the smell of gas and oranges
and the hurry and noise and the dirt and slang and the clownish joking at the Wells. I didn't realize at the time the change was going on in me. I didn't realize it till I came back. And then, by degrees, I discovered what had happened. Oh, Tom. Vanya.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rose.
Poor Rose. Poor Rose.
Look, dear, come into my room for a bit. I'm going to try my dress on for the pantomime. You come in and help me into it. I'll go and unlock the door on my side.
Very well, Vanya. I've come. Though I shan't be good company.
I shan't be a moment.
Dear Vanya. Excuse me, Tom. Have you a fire upstairs in your room today?
Not today, Rose. It's Saturday. I never have a fire on Saturday.
Why not?
Oh, I don't know. Creature of habit.
Because if you'd like to smoke your pipe by my fire while I'm with Vanya...
Come on, Rose. It's unlocked.
I'm coming. Stay here, Tom. Perhaps it's one of the last fires I'll be able to have.
Wrench! Tom Wrench, where are you?
Hello, who's that?
Imogene Parrott, of course.
Oh, Rose will be here in a few minutes. She just went next door to Vonia's room.
It's you. I won't let me sit down.
Well, here.
Oh, not near the fire.
What's up?
Oh, Wrench, perhaps my fortune's made.
Oh, congratulate you, Jenny.
Oh, Tom, I've not been happy at the Olympic Theatre lately, and now's my chance to get away.
Why, Imogene, you are the most illustrious graduate of the Wells, a leading lady up on the West End.
Tom, Mr. Clandon, who married an aunt of mine and lives at Streatham, will lend me £500.
What for?
Towards taking a theatre.
500?
It's all he's good for, and he won't advance that unless I can get a further 500 or 800 from some other quarter. I've got it all worked out in black and white. There's a deposit required on account of rent, £200, cleaning the theatre. What do you say?
What is there for me to say, Jenny?
Silly, the question is, will 500 produce the play?
What play?
Your play.
My play?
Your comedy.
Rubbish.
Well, Mr. Clandon thinks it isn't. I gave it to him to read, and he's quite taken with it.
Clandon? Leonard, what's his name?
Tony Clandon. Anthony Clandon.
Why,
He's a hop merchant.
No, he's not. He's a prince.
Ah, so you grasp the position. Theatre, manageress, author, play, found... And £800 wanted.
Oh, Lord.
Tom, do you remember old Mr. Morphew of Duncan Terrace? He used to take a great interest in us all at the Wells. He has money.
He has gout. We don't see him now.
Gout? Oh, how lucky. That means he's at home. Will you run round to Duncan Terrace?
I?
Oh, nonsense, Wrench. We're not asking him to advance money on your clothes.
The clothes are the man, Jenny.
And the woman?
The face is the woman. There's the real inequality of the sexes.
I'll go. Is my face good enough?
I should say so.
Well, it's been in my possession longer than you've had your oldest coat, Tom.
Oh, make haste, Jenny.
Well, my face will last till I get to Duncan Terrace. Oh, Tom, you may have to read your play to Mr. Morphew. Have you another copy? Uncle Clandon has mine.
Well, I think I have. I don't know.
Look for it. Find it. If Morphew wants to hear it, we must strike while the iron's hot.
While the gold's hot. Jenny, our fortune's at hand. 3 cheers for us. 3 cheers for us.
Mrs. Mossop, what is it? You look harried. Come in.
Sir William Gower, Miss Trelawney.
Sir William... What are you saying?
Oh, don't be vexed with me. I'll see if she's at home, I said. Oh, yes, woman, Miss Trelawney's at home, said he. And hobbled straight in. I shut him in the Teffler's room downstairs.
Open it.
Sir William, a sweet thing Miss Trelawney is.
Nah. You a relative?
Oh, no, sir. I'm not a relative.
Then go.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Miss Trelawney, my mind is not commonly a wavering one, but it has taken me some time, months, to decide upon calling on you.
Won't you sit down?
Aye.
Not on my trunk. Have we no chairs? Do we lack chairs here, Sir William?
My grandson. My grandson, where is he?
Isn't he... In Cavendish Square?
Isn't he in Cavendish Square? No, he is not in Cavendish Square, as you know well. How often does he write to you?
He does not write to me.
Or visit you?
No.
Comes Troubadouring?
No. I haven't seen him since that night. I refused to see him. Oh, he may be...
But he's not. He's alive. Arthur's alive and full of his tricks still. His great aunt, Miss Gower, receives a letter from him once a fortnight posted in London. Look. These letters have come.
Oh, no,
you don't.
I thought you wished me to read them.
Yeah, well.
Oh, thank you.
Well, what are you doing, madam? What are you doing?
To reassure you as to my well-being, I caused this to be posted in London by a friend.
A friend? Would that not be you?
He would never call me that. I am in good bodily health and as contented as a man can be who has lost the woman he loves and will love till his dying day.
Read no more. Return them to me. Come on, give them to me, ma'am.
Yes, Sir William.
Oh. Why, what's come to you? You're not so much of a vixen as you were.
No.
Less of the devil.
Sir William, I'm sorry for having been a vixen. And for all my unruly conduct in Cavendish Square, I humbly beg your and Miss Gower's forgiveness.
Yes. Yes, well, it's an extraordinary change.
Aren't you changed, Sir William, now that you've lost him?
I?
Don't you love him now the more? Oh, let me take your shawl from you. You'd catch cold when you go out.
No, I'll not trouble you, ma'am. I'm much obliged to you, but I'll not trouble you.
Oh, please, let me take...
Well, my dear...
There.
Gypsying doesn't seem to be such a good trade with you as it used to be, by all accounts.
Yes, as you've noticed, fortune has turned against me, rather. I seem to have changed. They tell me I can't act anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. I believe you've kept your word to us concerning Arthur and
My mother knew how fickle fortune could be to us gypsies. One of the greatest actors that ever lived warned her of
Miss
that.
Miss Gower will also feel extremely...
Keen once warned mother of that.
Keen? Which Keen?
Edmund Keen. My mother acted with Edmund Keen when she was a girl.
With Keen? With Keen?
Yes.
Why, my dear, I've seen Edmund Keen.
Yes?
Yes. I was a young man then, quite different from the man I am now. Impulsive, excitable Keen. Ah, he was a splendid gypsy.
Oh, I've a little fillet here in this hamper that my mother wore as Cordelia to Keen's Lear.
Why, I may have seen your mother also. Yes, I was somewhat different in those days.
See? Here it is. And the order and chain and the sword he wore in Richard.
Where?
He gave them to my father. I've always prized them. That's the order.
Keen. Why, God bless me.
My poor mother's fillet. She wore it so on her lovely hair.
And I may have seen her. Yes, I was a young man then. Yes, put it on, my dear. Lord bless us. And this was Richard's order and chain. Tell me, how did he wear it? Would you know?
Oh, this way.
Cordelia. Cordelia with Keen.
This should hang so.
Yes.
And look, here's the sword.
Keen. Look, I'll tell you, when I saw him as Richard, I was young and a fool. I tell you, he almost fired me with an ambition to look. How did he carry this?
In this way.
he was a little man, too. I remember him as if it were last night. Oh, my dear, your prospects in life have been greatly injured by your unhappy acquaintanceship with my grandson.
Poor Arthur's prospects in life. What of them?
Oh, tush.
If I knew where he is...
Miss Trelawney, if you cannot act, you cannot earn your living.
How is he earning his living?
And if you cannot earn your living, you must be provided for.
Provided for? I couldn't accept any help from you or Miss Gower.
But you must, my dear. You shall.
I will not.
And I'll buy these of you, my dear. Richard's sword and order.
Oh, no. Not for hundreds of pounds. Please, take them off.
Hey, who's that? I say, quickly, remove these. Here. Here, where can I hide? I mustn't be seen.
Oh, behind this curtain, here. Sir William. Here. Thank behind you. The curtain.
Rose, darling, where is Tom Wrench?
He was here not long since.
Tom? Tom Wrench? Mr. Wrench?
Is anything amiss?
Tom!
Imogene, what in the world are you doing here?
Oh, my dear, forgive my agitation.
Rose, Imogene, I found it. I found my play at the bottom of a box, deeper than did ever plummet sound. Why, what's the matter?
Oh, Tom, old Mr. Morphew.
Isn't he willing?
I don't know. He's dead.
No.
3 weeks ago. Oh, what a chance he's missed.
What is it, Tom? Imogene, what is it?
I can think of no one else.
Done again.
Oh, we shall lose it, of course.
Lose what?
The opportunity, her opportunity, my opportunity, your opportunity, Rose.
My opportunity, Tom?
My play, my comedy, my youngest born. Jenny has a theater, could have one, has 500 taught it, put down by a man who believes in my comedy, God bless him, the only fellow who has ever believed.
Oh, Tom! Oh, Imogene!
My dear, 500. We want another 5 at least.
Another 5?
Or 8.
And you are to play the part of Dora. Isn't she, Jenny? I mean, wasn't she?
Certainly. Just the sort of simple little miss you could play now, Rose. And we thought that old Mr. Morphew would help us in the speculation. Speculation? It's a dead certainty.
Dead certainty? Poor Morphew.
Here we are, stuck fast.
Oh, never mind, Tom.
Oh, Rose. Oh, Dora.
Eh? Sir William Gower. Tom...
I had no wish to be disturbed, sir, and I withdrew behind those curtains when that lady entered the room. Now, I have been a party, it appears, to a consultation upon a matter of business. Now, do I understand, sir, that you have been defeated in some project that would have served the interests of Miss Trelawney?
Why, yes, sir.
Mr. Wicks...
Wrench, sir.
Yes, sir, it would give me pleasure. It would give my grandson, Mr. Arthur Gower, pleasure to be able to aid Miss Trelawney at the present moment.
Sir William, would you like to hear my play?
Eh? Oh-ho.
My comedy?
So you think I might be induced to fill the office you designed for the late Mr...
Morphew.
Morphew, eh?
No, sir.
No? No?
Yes.
Well, read your play, sir. Sit down. Sit down, everyone. Come on, bring a chair. Bring a chair for Mr. Wrench. Have we no chairs, Miss Trelawney?
Oh, here, sir. Imogene, sit down.
Yes.
Sit down.
Yes, dear.
Now then, sir.
Life. A comedy by Thomas Wrench. Imogene, Imogene, Sir William is coming.
What do you mean, Tom?
What I say. The doorman just brought his card in. He wishes to attend rehearsal here on the stage.
But, Tom...
It's his privilege, of course. He's invested in the play.
Oh, but, Tom, we never dreamed he'd come to a rehearsal. Sir William Gower in a dusty, dirty theatre.
Well, he's here.
Oh, but, Tom, what about... Well, you know who. Oh, Tom...
The boy can't arrive for another 20 minutes. Besides, we must, sooner or later... accept the responsibility for our act.
If he should withdraw his capital.
I should then understand the motives and the springs of crime. Here he comes. How do you do, Sir William?
How do you do?
These are odd surroundings for you to find yourself in. You remember Miss Parrott.
Good morning, ma'am.
This is perfectly delightful.
What is?
Your visit.
Give me a chair. Have we no chairs here?
Oh, yes, sir, here.
Thank you. I'm much obliged. Here, sit down, young lady.
Thank you.
You're astonished at seeing me here, I dare say.
Oh, not at all.
I was addressing the lady, sir. You are surprised to see me.
Oh, very.
Yeah. Mr. Wrench, that comedy of yours, it buzzes continually in my head, sir.
It was written with such an intention, Sir William, to buzz in people's heads.
Well, I'll take care you don't read me another, at any rate, not another which contains a character resembling a member of my family. A late member of my family. I don't relish being reminded of late members of my family in this way, and being kept awake at night and thinking and turning over in my mind.
Of course not.
Now, when I saw Keene as Richard, he reminded me of no member of my family. Shakespeare knew better than that, Mr. Wicks. And therefore, madam, upon receiving your letter last night acquainting me with your intention to commence rehearsing your comedy, his comedy...
Our comedy.
Well, today at noon, I determined to present myself here and request to be allowed to...
To watch the rehearsal?
The rehearsals of those episodes in your comedy which remind me of a member of my family, a late member.
Oh, certainly.
By all means.
No, I don't wish to be stared at by any of your... what do you call them? Your gypsy crew.
Ladies and gentlemen of the company, we call them.
I don't care what you call them. Just put me into a curtain box where I can hear and see and not be seen. And when I've heard and seen enough, I'll return home and obtain a little sleep. Tomorrow I shall be well enough to sit in court again.
And if you are pleased with what you see this morning, perhaps you will attend another...
Not I, madam. After today, I wash my hands of you. What do plays and players do coming into my head and disturbing my repose? Well, your comedy has merit, sir.
Thank you, sir.
You call it life. There is a character in it, a young man not unlike life. Not unlike a late member of my family. Oblige me with your arm, will you? Madam, I have arrived at the conclusion that Miss Trelawney belongs to a set of curious people when other paths might have been useful members of society. But after today, I've done with you. I've done with you. Come, sir. My box, sir.
This way, sir.
I'll start the rehearsal, Tom. Rose, come, dear.
Oh, here I am, Imogen. Are we to do the first scene?
Yes, dear. Now you sit here.
Imogen, who is to play my lover? Who's to be Gerald?
Here's Tom, Rose. We'll discuss all that later.
Now then, Rose, you, as Dora, are working.
Yes.
There are your needles and wool. You have allowed the ball of wool to roll from your lap onto the grass. You'll see the reason for that presently, Rose.
Oh, I remember it, Mr. Wrench.
The curtain rises. Miss Parrott.
What do I say?
Nothing. You yawn.
Oh.
As if you meant it, of course.
Oh, well, of course.
Your yawn must tell the audience that you are a young lady who may be driven by boredom to almost any extreme. Rose, you speak.
Oh, yes. What are you reading, Miss Chaffinch?
A novel.
And what is the name of it?
The Seasons.
Why is it called that?
Because all the people in it do seasonable things.
How amusing.
Miss Harrington, who is the Mr. Gerald Lee who is expected down today?
Lord Pericott's secretary.
Old and poor?
Neither, I believe. He's the son of a college chum of Lord Pericott's. So I heard his lordship tell Lady MacArchie, and is destined for public life.
Then he's young.
Extremely, I understand.
How fascinating. Miss Harrington, bring your work indoors and hear me sing. I'm so bored with doing nothing.
I should be delighted, Miss Chaffinch.
That's right, Dora. Now you leave now, and the ball of wool remains on the grass.
Yes.
The piano is heard, and Peggy's voice singing. Gerald enters. Imogen, come back, please. I want to talk to you.
Tom, has he come?
Just this moment. There, do you see?
Oh, Tom, when Rose comes back and sees him...
Miss Parrott, Mr. Wrench, oh, forgive me if I'm late. My cab horse galloped from the station and I had...
We have just reached your entrance, Mr. Gower.
Oh.
Have you read your part over?
Read it? Why, I know every word of it. It's made my journey from Bristol like a flight through the air. Why, Mr. Wrench, some of this is almost me. Did you notice that, Miss Parrott?
Now, come. You enter.
Oh.
There, right. You stroll on, looking about you. Now, Mr. Gower.
A pretty place. I'm glad I left the carriage at the lodge and walked through the grounds.
God bless my soul, my grandson.
Don't heed it. Go on, Mr. Gower.
Somebody singing. A girl's voice. Yes, Lord Pericott made no mention of anybody but his hostess, the dry Scotch widow. Oh, a ball of wool. This is Lady MacArchie's, I'll be bound. Yes, the very color suggests spectacles and iron gray curls.
Now Dora returns. Dora? Rose? Rose Trelawney? Your cue?
Oh, I'm sorry, Tom. I didn't...
Rose!
Go on, Mr. Gower.
Yes. I beg your pardon. Are you looking for this ball of wool?
Yes. I... Oh, Arthur.
Oh, darling.
Arthur!
Grandfather!
The rehearsal is postponed, ladies and gentlemen.
What's this? What is this?
Well, sir, I... You and Rose... Well, you're the last persons I expected to meet here. Well, perhaps you've already both learned from Mr. Wrench or Miss Parrot that I've become a gypsy, sir.
No, these people have thought it decent to allow me to make the discovery for myself.
Sir William, the secret of your grandson's choice of a profession...
Profession?
...was one that I was pledged to keep as long as it was possible to do so. And pray remember that your attendance here this morning is entirely your own act. It was our intention...
Now, where's the door? The way to the door, sir.
And let me beg you to understand this, Sir William, that Miss Trelawney was, till a moment ago, as ignorant as yourself of Mr. Arthur Gower's doings, of his movements, or of his whereabouts. She would never have thrown herself in this way, in this manner. Whatever conspiracy...
Conspiracy! It's the right word, sir. Conspiracy.
Whatever conspiracy there has been is my own, to bring these two young people together again... To make them happy.
Oh, Tom, thank you.
Ah.
Wait, Sir William, please, before you say anything more. Oh, Sir William, why may not Arthur become someday a splendid gypsy?
Hey?
Like?
Like?
Yes, Sir William.
Well, Grandfather?
Dear me, sir,
Shall we proceed with the rehearsal, Sir William? Or shall we wait till you are seated?
Wait, confound you. Do you think I want to remain here all day? Go on with the rehearsal, sir.
Go on with the rehearsal. Mr. Gower and Miss Rose Trelawney. Miss Trelawney. Trelawney. Of the Wells. Let us... Oh, my dears. Let's get on with the rehearsal.
Thus we conclude Trelawney of the Wells by Sir Arthur Wing Pinero, is adapted for radio by Elizabeth Todd.